This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Kuwait City, Kuwait. We took the 2.5-hour flight over here from Cairo, and it's a bit of a shock to the system. I'll call it, instead of culture shock, I'll call it economic shock when you go from Egypt, a country with a very challenged economy, to one with a huge surplus. Kuwait is a very wealthy, oil-rich country with every modern convenience. It's one of the richest countries in the world, and we've been staying in a very nice hotel, and it has a lounge up on the top floor. And last night, I was speaking to the host at the lounge, and I asked where the guests mostly come from. And she responded very quickly, Switzerland. And I will tell you, that kind of surprised me. And I asked her, why Switzerland? And she explained that all of the Swiss guests, they are bankers. Well, I guess that makes a lot of sense, but I was really surprised. Kuwait is a very, very nice place to visit.
It's time for your tech tip. Many years ago, I lived the digital nomad lifestyle, bouncing from country to country, making a nuisance of myself using the coffee shop Wi-Fi for hours in the middle of the night, and staying in cheap, disgusting, windowless guesthouse rooms. But now I live a very sedate life, spending time in my backyard shed and wondering why these kids are always playing their music so damned loud. It's been a couple of years since we've done any traveling to speak of, but my wife and I are about to leave for a quick trip to Puerto Rico. We looked to see what direct international flights were on offer from Jacksonville International Airport, and it turns out the only one is to San Juan. Whether or not Puerto Rico counts as international, I will leave to you to decide. But a trip ahead means that there is a flurry of packages arriving in the mail with all kinds of gizmos and doodads I'm trying to convince my wife are absolutely necessary. And as a lot of people start to make plans for the summer, it's a good time to look at what kind of tech considerations to make when traveling. And although I may use this trip as an excuse to do a little buying, right at the outset, I will mention that as somebody who has done a lot of traveling over the years, and at a point in time when free Wi-Fi and unlocked phones were hard to come by and apps to summon taxis were still a long way off, you are usually better off going underprepared and just rolling with the punches than you are trying to plan for every contingency in advance, worrying yourself sick, and bringing a bunch of stuff you don't need. All that said, making sure you have phone service and data is one of those things that you can't do without. The lowest effort and most expensive way is usually to just use your provider's international roaming service. This is generally pricey compared to the other options, but if you are desperate, it is a viable way to get things done. This isn't always going to work, though. I have sometimes turned up in countries or specific parts of countries where roaming should have worked, but it didn't. So it's worth checking ahead, but also not banking too heavily on this option. Sometimes you can purchase an international call and data package from your provider at a much better rate, and usually with better reliability. If you can't be asked to faff around with foreign phone plans and your trip is going to be short, just a couple of days, an international data package might not be a bad option. If your device is unlocked, or if you can have it unlocked by your provider, you open up options for using foreign carriers in your destination, and usually saving a lot of money, especially if you will need to use a lot of data for things like video calls or tethering other devices to your phone or tablet. In many foreign locations, it's pretty easy to just buy a SIM card from the local provider right in the airport. They often have prepaid options that you can recharge if necessary. In most countries, you will need to provide some passport details and information to get the SIM activated. The go-to database for SIM cards for international travelers is prepaid-data-sim-card.fandom.com. It sounds like some kind of spam site, but I promise this is the site to use. There are listings for options in just about every country, the providers, the plans, what's required to activate a new SIM, if they are available in the airport, and all kinds of other details. Now, if you have a phone with eSIM support, things start to get a lot easier. You can check out eSIMDB.com, which is a similar kind of directory for eSIMs available around the world. These are generally ordered online and downloaded to your device ahead of time, so you can simply switch to the new eSIM on arrival with no need to hunt for a phone kiosk in the airport and no risk of losing your original SIM in the bottom of your bag or the subway car. And on the topic of bags, we should also talk about luggage and packing. I am probably the wrong guy to ask about this. I was known for tossing a toothbrush and a pair of pants into a plastic grocery bag for domestic flights and spending months abroad with something about the size of a child's backpack. You will need to be the judge of how much you want to take and how expensive you want to go on your luggage. As I get older, I definitely see the appeal of fancy roller bags for shuttling to and fro, but I generally tell people that you need less than you think you do. I would try to get away without checking bags when possible. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but there are pharmacies and laundromats and grocery stores in foreign countries too. Dealing with checked bags in customs, collecting and transporting them, especially if you need to hop on a train or walk a few kilometers through a downtown area, is a big hassle. But if you're going to be renting a car instead, it's worth trying autoslash.com for car booking. You provide the dates, location, and the kind of car you are after, and they do some algorithmic digging and bidding to sometimes get you a better deal. I find it depends on the destination. Sometimes it's about the same as booking through a big travel site like Expedia. Other times it's a substantial savings. It's a free service, so it's worth plugging in your details just to check. And you can also use it to monitor rental prices for a particular location and date to get an email notification if the prices change. Coming back to the technology that you will want to pack, because between a phone and a computer or tablet, we can just about get everything we need to done these days, there aren't a whole lot of extra devices that you'll need. What you will likely want to do is focus on keeping everything powered up. If you are going to be going for long stretches away from a power outlet, some kind of battery pack is worth having. I generally don't bother with anything larger than about 10,000 milliamp hours because I'm usually just in need of a phone charge or two. I don't go too far off the beaten path where I need to have multiple devices charged up over several days. You can find battery packs with multiple ports, wireless charging, built-in flashlights, and all kinds of other features. The thing you will want to keep in mind is making sure that you have the correct cables to connect your devices to the battery pack. The move to USB-C over the past few years has helped considerably, but I have still been caught out occasionally when I bring a charging cable with a USB-A end for an old battery pack that doesn't work in the USB-C wall charger. It's worth the trouble to move all of your batteries and chargers to USB-C and then pick up any necessary cables like a Lightning or micro USB for the odd iPhone or older Kindle you may have. And on the topic of wall chargers, it's worth mentioning that the recent appearance of gallium nitride chargers, abbreviated GaN, has made for much smaller charging bricks than were possible in the past. You can generally find a 100-watt GaN charger that will power your computer and a couple of phones at the same time that's about the size, if not a bit smaller, than a traditional 60-watt silicon-based charger. As for making sure you can actually plug it in at your destination, I have finally come around to the all-in-one travel adapter. These can be configured to let you plug US-style outlets into any other plug in the world, and these can easily be had in the $10 to $12 range for a nice one. And while they will be bigger than a wall charger itself, they will work everywhere you happen to go. Apple sells a travel charger with interchangeable tips for various destinations, and I used to pack the right tip for wherever I was going just so that I didn't have to fuss with a universal adapter, but the adapter means you are never caught out. Beyond your phone and computer and a way to keep them powered, the rest is pretty easy. I like having an AirTag or other Bluetooth tracker in my bag. There are lots of options from Tile, KeySmart, and Eufy. Thankfully, I've never had to track a missing bag, but if yours goes missing in the bowels of an airport baggage handling system or from a restaurant or cruise ship excursion, you might find it helpful. If for some reason you don't have a set of Bluetooth earbuds, this is a great excuse to pick one up. They make zoning out on the plane and handling calls from the hotel or coffee shop a breeze, although I would be lying if I said I didn't still tuck a cheap pair of wired earbuds with a mic into my bag just in case. And if you have the space and can sneak it in without your spouse finding out you've ordered it, the 12 South Airfly is worth a look. This is a small device that plugs into a standard headphone jack like you would find in your airplane seat and sends the audio via Bluetooth so that you can then listen on your earbuds instead of the awful airplane headset. They have a version called the Airfly Duo that lets you connect two Bluetooth headsets as well in case you want to watch with somebody else. If you can call it technology, a pen is always nice to have since you'll occasionally need to fill out customs forms, but there really isn't much else to deal with. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. Let's talk about long-term travel while working remotely. This topic has been filling my inbox since the days of COVID. Lawyers started working remotely and the travel bug bit quite a few of them. So I get all kinds of questions about how to travel while working remotely successfully. And after 9 years of doing this full time, I guess I've gathered some insights that I can share. First off, let's acknowledge that everyone's journey into this nomadic lifestyle is unique. I've seen all sorts of different approaches, from those who sell everything for a life on the road to others who take gradual steps and ease into it. Everybody does it differently, and that's okay. There's no right way to do this any more than there's a right way to take a vacation. People make all sorts of different choices. Some spend a lot of money, some spend very little, some stay in apartments, some stay in hotels. Everybody very much approaches this in their own way, and it works for them in whatever way they choose to make it work. But even with all of these different choices and everyone doing it differently, I've found two factors that I think can really make a difference to everyone when it comes to making this lifestyle work out well. Those two things are minimalism and routine. Let's talk about minimalism first. Lisa and I made a pretty big move when we basically got rid of everything back in 2015 and consolidated what we owned down to the contents of our two carry-on bags. And that made things easier in a couple of different ways. First, mentally, it's just easier not to have to worry about and manage stuff. Not leaving a bunch of stuff in a storage locker meant less to deal with. It freed up a bunch of mental bandwidth. It was kind of surprising that that happened, but having that extra space in your brain, not having to deal with maintaining and packing and managing all this stuff, it leaves you with time for planning travel and touristing and navigating issues like buying toothpaste when the label is in a foreign language. And then, of course, there's the physical difference. It's simply easier with less stuff to get through airports and in and out of taxis and rental cars and up and down apartment building stairs. All of that is less difficult because you have less stuff. Way back in 2015, we realized that this minimalist approach very much impacted us in a positive way, but it's not for everybody. I know plenty of folks who enjoy the security of having a home base filled with their own stuff, even if they never spend any time in that particular place. So do whatever feels right for you. I can tell you that this minimalist approach works for us, and I can promise you that the heavier your suitcase, the harder it is to move. Now, the second crucial element is routine. Travel, it's all about novelty, but this very aspect of living this lifestyle, it can be a double-edged sword when it comes to productivity. If you need to get work done while you travel, well, then you need to be very cognizant of how this lifestyle impacts the work that you get done each day. Travel can be great for the quality of your work product. Getting out in the world and having new experiences can fuel creativity. But these new experiences, well, they can distract you from your work. Establishing a routine is vital if you want to stay productive. For me, mornings are for focused work. I get up early and I stay on task for a few hours. The afternoons, the evenings, they're more flexible and are reserved for calls and reading and doing lighter tasks. This sort of structure ensures that I stay productive even when my office view is as captivating as the ships passing by on the Bosphorus. But you're going to have to find your own routine. I encourage you, though, to figure out what works for you and for your business and for your energy levels and to find that system. Lock it down and then stick to it. It needs to become your routine. A solid routine is really important if this lifestyle is going to be sustainable for you. So while we all do this in our own way, I think that going minimalist and sticking to a routine, they're at the core of making this lifestyle very workable for most folks. It seems like the big challenges, they might be things like getting visas or buying flights or finding hotels or picking destinations and the long list of things that I get asked about. But all of those things are pretty easy once you have a little practice. But staying light and nimble by carrying a limited number of things coupling that with a solid routine for getting your work done, well, these things, they end up having the biggest impact on your life as a remote worker traveling the world. These are the things that I would encourage you to focus on when you're dreaming up your plan. Of course, working on the move, it really isn't a one-size-fits-all activity, but it's been fantastic for me, and it might be for you too. Today, working remotely, it's easier, it's more feasible than it has ever been. And if traveling while maintaining your work is something that you dream of, well, then it's very much within reach today. I hope that my experiences and tips, that they offer you some clarity and maybe a little bit of inspiration. Who knows, maybe our paths will cross somewhere around the globe. So if you're going to get going, I encourage you to travel light, and find and stick to a routine to keep yourself productive. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Kuwait, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, and getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there, I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.